Hello, you're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show to inspire making the best of the rest of your life. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach. My passion is guiding others to find and live theirs, regardless of their age or circumstance. What I do, I work with clients to do what it is that they really want to do, to ask themselves, what do they want to be sure they experience in this lifetime, in the work that they do, in the relationships that they have, in the experience that they get to live, and to realize that someday holds no guarantee. My guest today is Bob Walker. Bob is the president of Connections Sports and Entertainment Marketing. Bob's distinguished career spans 30 years of high-profile events, athletes, and top-tier organizations. Bob's career had a very interesting beginning, which Bob will share with us when he joins us after this break. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have chosen to have the courage and to take the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm your host for the show. I'm Lissa Marquardt. And my guest today is Bob Walker. He is the president of Connections, a sports and entertainment marketing firm specializing in high-profile events, athletes, and top-tier organizations. I had the pleasure of meeting Bob while I was attending a wedding in Donnelly, Idaho last month, and after learning about his career beginnings and his impressive development going forward from there, I just felt compelled to have him on the show. So, Bob, thank you so much for joining us and sharing your illustrious career with us. It sounds like so much fun. I can't wait to get some more details myself.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. Definitely looking forward to this, Lisa.
Great. Thank you. So it was fun how we met. I was just leaving a wedding reception and you were wrapping up your day of golf. And somehow we, as it usually happens with me, I end up getting on the topic of how people get in their careers and what their beginnings were or what they do or whatever. And it was just kind of, you just landed in my lap and that was super fun. So would you mind kind of sharing that that story that you shared with me that I just felt was such a great start to what you're doing today?
Yeah, it's, you know, my story starts from when I was a little kid. And, you know, we talk about, you know, in life coaching and school and everything, we talk about goal setting and how important goal setting is to success in your career. But for myself, you know, I was just a little kid that loved sports, football, baseball, basketball stuff growing up in the 70s.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska. And Omaha, Nebraska is the site of the College World Series. And when I was 10 years old in 1977, I won a drawing to become a bat boy for the College World Series.
Wow.
And I was assigned to Arizona State University. And kind of crazy how things work, but, you know, Arizona State, they were the number one team that year in baseball. And I played Little League catcher that year, and the catcher for the team befriended me. His name was Chris Bando. And Chris was the younger brother of Sal Bando, who's a Hall of Famer for the Oakland A's. But anyway, Chris befriended me as this little kid playing catcher, and long story short, he hits a home run in the bottom of the eighth inning of a 1-1 game in the national championship, and it ends up being the game-winning home run. And they win the game 2-1. Next day, the Omaha World Herald newspaper, you know, has a big picture front page. Bat boy greets Chris Bando for game-winning home run in national championship game. And lo and behold, that's me high-fiving him at home plate. And he gives me his batting glove and all that. And I'm just this little kid. I'm like, oh, man, that's where I want to go to school someday. That's Arizona State's where I want to go. And lo and behold, you know, fast forward 8 years, graduate high school. I end up going to University of Nebraska, Omaha. And I get an opportunity over spring break. I have a friend saying, I'm moving to Phoenix and I'm looking for a roommate that wants to go to Arizona State with me. And I'm like, I am in. This has been a lifelong dream. I've always wanted to go to Arizona State, blah, blah, blah. And I go for it. And I end up going to Arizona State. And it was just an incredible career path change for me. Because I got in the broadcast journalism school, and then I thought I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. Yeah. You know, I wanted to be the next Bob Costas. You know, back then, you know, ESPN had just came out in I think, 83, 84. I enrolled at Arizona State in 87. So sports marketing wasn't really an industry.
Right.
You know, you had three TV channels, your ABC, NBC, yes. CBS. We didn't even have Fox back then, like, when you come to think of it.
No. We even had antennas on our TVs that we had to adjust so we could get good receptions on those three channels, as I recall.
Yeah. So I thought I wanted to be a sports broadcaster. That's what I really wanted to do. And I was going down that path. And there was a conference I ended up reading about in there, you know, the school newspaper. And it's like, you want to get a career in sports. And I was like, oh, my God, this is so me. And I convinced my parents to scrounge up some money for me to send me this conference. It's there in Phoenix. And I go to the conference and I made a point of trying to, after each speaker, trying to network and get to know them and introduce myself to them and try to, you know, just build a relationship. And at one of the sessions, it ended up being the general manager of a sports production company in Maui, Hawaii. And it just happened to be owned by the voice of NBC Golf, Mark Rolfing, and they happened to put on the Maui Basketball Classic. They put on two PGA Tour events over there, and they were looking for someone to come over as an intern and help out on the basketball tournament over Thanksgiving break. It's a big Thanksgiving basketball tournament, college collegiate tournament. It still takes place to this day. It's
wow.
still that big of an event over there. So I went over and I did that, and I had to pay my own ticket, but they would put me up and give me meals. So I was investing in myself, and I went over and did a great job. And I asked them if there's anything they could do to open some doors back in the States for me. And they said, matter of fact, there is. Let us call. You know, we're friends with the president of NBC Sports. Let us call them, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, you're in Tempe. I'm like, yeah, I'm right at Arizona State. You know, there's a ton of sporting events that come through. The Arizona Cardinals are playing there. And you got ASU. You got the Fiesta Bowl and stuff. So I ended up getting a job with NBC Sports. So whenever they had a sporting event in Phoenix that NBC Sports was covering, they needed production runners. And so I got hired on as a production runner and started working with their production crews whenever they came to Phoenix while I was going to school still. And then Christmas break comes and they're like, hey, we got the playoffs in Denver, the Broncos, and we need some help in Denver. Do you want to come up to Denver and work for us? I'm like, yeah, I'm off school. Why not? Right. So you see this trend of networking is just starting to kind of snowball for me while I'm still in college.
Yeah.
And going down this career path. And it's obvious with NBC Sports, which is huge, as a resume builder. I just can kind of continue to do that through college or my last year and a half. But my senior year, when I was set to graduate, the group in Hawaii calls me again and they said, hey, we're looking for an intern that could come over for like 3 or 4 months. Our tournament coordinator is pregnant and she's expecting tournament week. So we need to have a backup plan. And I was just like, man, I go, that's me. I go, I really want to do that. And they're like, oh, you got to graduate this semester. And I'm like, let me see what I can work out with my dean. I go to the dean and tell him about this opportunity, and they see the value. They're like, yeah, but you used up all your internship credits, da 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 da. I'm like, yeah, can I just take a leave of absence?
Anything.
Like, anything. And they're like, look, we can give you one semester, like one semester leave of absence where it's not going to affect you. You have to take more classes, et cetera. And I said, yeah, I want to do that. And they're like, yeah, but you only got one semester. You got to come back that following semester to graduate. And I said, I'll do it. And so I went over there and I ended up working on that tournament and did a great job, had a great time. And then like, hey, we got another tournament 45 days after this. It goes through December. Do you want to stick on the island for another month and a half? I'm like, yeah, I'm in Maui. Why not? Like, everything's paid for. And I'm having a great time and I'm working on the tour. And I'm like, school can wait another month. I don't start till the end of January anyways, or mid-January back then, I think is when it was. So I stuck around. I worked on that tournament, and I came back, and I graduated, and I got a job in the sports world in Scottsdale, and that really started my professional career path into where I am today.
Wow. What a fun story. So I guess what comes to mind for me is a couple of things is, first of all, do you think that things just happen to land in your lap because of the timing and, kind of the whole sports world opening up in a new way? Or do you think that it was because you were open and excited and at you, like that you ask if there's any doors that somebody could open for you? I mean, do you feel you drove that, or do you think that it was just a little stroke of luck or a little bit of both?
I think you got to create your own luck, whether it's good or bad. And one thing I learned at the conference at the very beginning, and I've shared this many, many, many times with other people coming up, it was Gary Bender. Gary was a legendary sports broadcaster. He was from Kansas, and I grew up in Nebraska myself, so I understood, come from the heartland of the United States, that upbringing back there. But he just said, don't be afraid to ask. Your network is all you have at the end of the day, is your network. And that goes with you anywhere you go in business. It doesn't matter the profession, it's your network and your
I
name
love that.
and the credibility that you bring with your name. And so I was like, look, I'm not the best student. I'm like, I was a terrible student in high school. Like, I never thought I was going to college. I thought I was going to be a professional motocross racer. I really did. My career got cut short my senior year of high school. I had a bad crash and a bad concussion that affected my ability to race at a very high level. It changed my career path. So he had just talked about, the importance of networking, the importance of building your network. And he's like, don't be afraid to ask. No never killed anyone. And I was like, man, I'm not the sharpest tool in the tool shed, but God gave me a mouth and I can certainly use my mouth. And so I put that to work immediately there at that conference, and that's why I made a point of after every single session, I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to talk about, but I'm going to go up there and talk to the speaker, and I'm going to let them know my name, and then I go to school here, and I want to be in sports, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And so I just went for it. And I'm like, what do I got to lose?
Love it.
No, just oxygen. It's just time. And as a student, you have plenty of time. And so that's what I started doing, and that's what opened doors. And then the door got open, and someone took a flyer on me. I wanted to make sure I didn't embarrass them. It's so simple. It's so hard to do in this world these days.
It is. Well, I think that you just happened to be, you got the right advice at the right time, and you were willing to step up to that plate because possibly the fear that you didn't have the option to pursue a college career and go down some mundane path that you probably wouldn't have wanted to go down anyways. But it just sounds like, it was almost like a turn of events that really boomeranged in your favor, and you just happened to get the right advice at the right time.
It really is, but my entire career has continued to ebb and flow like that. Like the continual opportunities that have presented themselves, people are just like, dude, you're so lucky. And I'm like, I don't know. I think I created my own luck. I think I worked hard and I got that opportunity because I put myself in that position to capitalize on it, or I asked the right questions. And people are so afraid to just step up, like, right, step forward. And ask for the sale. Ask for the opportunity. Everybody wants it given to them. It's such a passive world that we live in today.
Well, I think you're exactly right. It's fear is the biggest problem that we have in achieving anything that we want to see in our life.
Right.
And why? It's like
People
you
are fear
said.
of rejection.
Yes. Why? If you weigh out what you have to benefit from versus what you have to lose, why is there even a contest there?
Right.
And like you said, what did you say? Nobody died or nobody's gotten killed? I think that's a perfect mindset to go into that with. I'm not going to die.
You look at our generation now, and you look at the younger generation that's dating, and they got to find each other on dating apps now. It's not like going out to a bar and walking up to a girl and asking her to dance and getting the rejection or saying no. you know, or
that's true.
Those things that were so simple and remedial in our lives growing up, and you look at now, my kids are just got married last year, but you know, this COVID generation,
yes,
they didn't get to graduate and walk, you know, all these things that generation has now had to go through that I think scarred them. They don't realize it, but they're scarred of what that generation has been through.
Definitely.
So they're dating like that. You can't go out. You don't have that form of communication anymore. And then when they break up, it's just a text message. It's so cold-hearted, right?
It's done.
Our communication skills are superior to the generation now, because we had to look someone in the eye. We had to shake their hand or tell them,
"Oh yeah,
no, thank you. You're not working for me anymore." Or, you know, that face-to-face interaction.
100%.
We don't have that anymore.
100%. Yeah, this is a great topic, and I want to continue it, but it's time for us to go to break. So stay tuned. We will be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am a certified career and life coach, and my passion is guiding others to find and live theirs. My guest today is Bob Walker, and Bob is the president of Connections, which is a sports and entertainment marketing firm, and he gets to specialize in a lot of high-profile events and athletes and top-tier organizations. And before we went to break, we were talking about how having the courage to accept rejection has opened a lot of doors for Bob. And I think that is such a brilliant point. So many times I have clients they will just sit there and be pretty much frozen because they are afraid of the rejection factor. So I think it might be a lot of fun to just, if you could just share some of the times that where you just threw it on the table and said, "I'm going to risk it," and what benefits you were able to glean from that. Do you have any like specific examples that were, especially beneficial for you?
Yeah, I talk a lot about life is a series of forks in the road and the decisions we make when we come to forks in the road. And I had, my career after I got out of college was really deep in the world of golf. And then it led to me working on the senior PGA tour and selling sponsorships for that event in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's called the Tradition at Desert Mountain. And that was the first major of the senior tour. That was the equivalent to what Augusta is of the PGA tour, is what the tradition was of the senior tour. And it was always held the week before Augusta.
Wow.
And a lot of great networking came from there. And what it led to was a lot of the professional athletes in Phoenix would reside up there. That was the country club to be at.
Mm-hmm.
And I, selling the sponsorships, I play a lot of golf there, and I got to know a lot of sponsors, and one thing leads to another. And I got approached by Mike Utley Foundation. Mike was an NFL player, was paralyzed in 93, something like that. He was one of the last guys to be permanently paralyzed.
Mm-hmm.
But he ran with the NFL. They ran this big celebrity golf tournament across with all 32 teams. It was a huge fundraiser for spinal cord research. And they came to me and said, "Hey, would you run and produce this event for us?" And I said, "Yeah, absolutely. I know the mountain. I know the people up there. Put this celebrity event together." And I ran it for many, many years. But I started off, so I would office with them for part of the year. Then I'd office with the golf tournament for the other part of the year. But when I office with the foundation, his offices were ProServe Football. And that was their global football athlete management headquarters was in Phoenix. And I started officing down there and seeing how they ran their business and how they managed talent, professional athlete, professional football players. And then I started playing golf with the guys and playing golf with some of the NFL guys and building that network and seeing what they were doing. And fast forward, what had happened was around 2000, action sports was really taking off. The X Games had been around for 3 or 4 years. Supercross and motocross had Jeremy McGrath, and Jeremy was becoming a really big name. And I'm like, man, I grew up with a lot of these guys. I'm seeing what they're doing. And I had some buddies that were in the industry, and they're like, "Hey, we're starting to get a lot of sponsorship money over here. The guys are, the sports are becoming legitimized, et cetera." And I'm like, man, I can't believe no one's representing these athletes. I'm like, why do they not have management? There's no one doing sponsorships for them. And I was like, I know this world. I grew up in this world. I know a lot of the guys over there, but I've been over here in corporate America selling corporate sponsorships. I'd worked on the 96 Olympics. I ran the logistics for Centennial Park. I was hired as a consultant for the 96 games. So my network of corporate partners and corporate ad, you know, the big ad agencies and marketing agencies that were doing the sports sponsorships, I had a really good Rolodex. And I was sitting here looking at Action Sports going, this sport's blowing up, but there's no one over here bringing the professional ad agency, professional marketing, professional knowledge and expertise to the table. And I'm like, somebody needs to blend the two together that understands both worlds. And wow. I'm like, I know both worlds. And I have a very successful golf sports marketing agency and had a handful of people working for me. Business was very good. And I made the decision in August of 2001 that I was going to start a second agency, and what it was going to be was I was going to represent, I wanted to represent athletes in the action sports world.
Wow.
And
wow.
So I was working with another baseball, I was working with a baseball player in addition to Mike Elliott, his name was Royce Clayton, and I was working with his foundation, and Royce's agent was Arn Tellem. And Arn, for those of you in the sports agent world, Arn is one of the preeminent agents, if not the best, in the country, at what we do.
Wow.
I was fortunate enough to tug on Arn's ear and ask him about this. And he, you know, he asked me to put some documents together, like a business plan outline, and share it with him. And we went through all that. And his advice back to me was, he's like, you need to go for this. And I was just like, oh, wow, this is awesome. I'm going to learn from the best. But he's like, I'm too busy. I got all this going on. You need to just go for it. You know your world. Ooh. You know these guys. You just need to go for it.
Wow.
So I came into my office and I made the decision, literally it's like, it was right around September 1, and you know what happened on September 11th.
Yeah.
Of 01.
Yeah.
So I made the decision. We incorporated the end of August. No, I want to say the middle of August, I incorporated a new corporation and just went for it. And I came in and told my staff what I was doing, and they thought I fell off of, they thought I fell in my car and hit my head. Like, are you nuts? You're going to get into motocross and leave the PGA Tour? Like, what are you thinking?
But that was your first love, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was my first love. I knew the sport. My passion was so deep in that sport. But I had all this, what I felt were really good contacts, monetization, et cetera, that I could bring and blend the two together. But anybody I spoke to thought I was absolutely lost my marbles. Because they didn't understand what the X Games are today. Now you look at the X Games, you look at the Olympics and all that. Mm-hmm. I was there at the infancy of it, and I rolled the dice and went for it. I funded it all myself. I did it all myself. I went out and hired new staff in that world, built a completely separate agency. And then we went out and we started hiring out. When I say hiring, we started retaining athletes for representation. There's no money coming with that. I mean, it's a long financial burn to build a new company with no business coming in.
Sure.
So I was really, really betting on the come line that we could make this work. And lo and behold, we did. We ended up, one of the snowboarders that we signed ended up making the 2002 Olympic team. And those were the three snowboarders that swept the Olympic podium at the halfpipe in 02. Which basically thrust us into the global limelight, because it was the first time the United States had swept the podium in any sport at the Winter Games in 54 years.
Wow.
And we did it with the U.S. snowboarding team.
I didn't realize that, or I don't remember that for sure, but that's fascinating.
Yeah, so big stuff.
Yeah.
But for me, as a small sports marketing agency representing some talent in sports that people don't really know about, and then you think about 98, you know, going back, the 98 games, the snowboarders were full of bad negative press because that's when the whole cannabis thing came out. Someone tested positive. So the snowboarders, you know, were classified negatively from the 98 games. So we had that, no pun intended, cloud hanging over our heads.
I think that cloud still hangs over snowboarders' heads, as a matter of fact.
It does, but now it's legal.
Yes, exactly.
Funny how things change.
Yes,
right?
For sure.
But that, so in 02, it really put us in the limelight. You know, we were every major, you know, the magazines, the media, the shows, the endorsement deals, et cetera, et cetera. And what it did is it thrust us in the limelight, and I ended up being approached by Wasserman. Casey personally approached us about purchasing our agency, and we ended up selling it in 03, I want to say 03, somewhere in there. And I became part of Wasserman. In the early days, Casey was just building out what the organization is today, but I think we're the fourth agency he'd acquired to build out what Wasserman is today, and now they are the largest sports marketing management agency in the world, if I'm not mistaken, if not one of the largest.
Wow. And
so it was a huge, you know, it was crazy to go from 2000 to that, like, just, I'd never been in athlete management. I had a vision. I went with my gut. I rolled the dice. I jumped off the ledge, went for it. Made it through, you know, September 11th, not having any revenue, and then that happening to our country, and then having to persevere and fight through that and build the business and get it going, and then 2 years later selling it, you know, being that prosperous and successful, and then being able to sell it.
Well, and not to mention, you probably had a hell of a good time along the way as well. Just guessing.
Just a little.
I'm sure your friends and acquaintances, colleagues, probably all look at you and go, like, what? Do you live a charmed life or what? I mean, I just think that it just makes me giddy when I think about all the fun things that you've been allowed to invest yourself in.
Yeah, it's take it for granted. Right, because it just becomes the norm. But, you know, I'm just sitting here and I'm thinking of the parties of the 96 Olympics and the things we got to do. I mean, I ran the logistics for downtown Atlanta, for Centennial Park and the Global Sponsor Village, the accesses I had, the events, the things I had access to. You know, the parties, the, you know, I've flown in helicopters with Arnold Palmer, the professional football, baseball players, the Hall of Famers I've gotten to hang out with, play golf with, how to do dinners with, and just hang out with them. But I just, like, everyone's, we're all the same. We're just people at the end of the day.
Sure.
And no one needs to be put on a pedestal.
Right.
The accesses to events, you know. I was got to be on the floor for the gold medal match for the Dream Team back in 96. You know, just... The stories can go on and on, the accesses, but I really just try to look at it, like, not be... arrogant about it, and just go, man, I was really blessed to be a part of that and to have the opportunity to be able to have those experiences and to share them with others.
And, you know, and I keep thinking back to how you had this belief about yourself that you weren't the sharpest tool in the shed because you didn't think you were a good student. And I just think that, so oftentimes, if passion kind leads our way, we get to do something that could be even more beneficial than something that somebody lines out for us on a syllabus and tells us what classes to take in college. So I just have to celebrate that part for how your life unfolded in your career path, which journey it's led you down.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly wasn't going to be an accountant or anything that required a lot of book smarts, but I certainly was a hard worker and a passionate worker. And, you know, I knew that if, you know, what I learned was by asking and not being afraid to ask, and I was never afraid to be a public speaker either, and maybe that goes back to my passion for wanting to be a sports broadcaster.
Right.
So not being afraid to get up and talk in front of people, it certainly helps.
Yeah, I love it. Anyways, it's time for us to take another break, so stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Living Your Dream, a monthly talk show highlighting those who have had the courage and taken the risks to do work and to live lives that they genuinely love. I'm Lissa Marquardt. I am your host for the show and a certified career and life coach. My guest today is Bob Walker, and he is the president of Connections, which is a sports and entertainment marketing firm, and he gets to work in all sorts of fun events with a lot of athletes and high-profile events. And we were just talking over break, and Bob's got some new ideas on the horizon, a new adventure on the way, and I'm looking forward to hearing about that and where your journey's going to take you next. So let us know.
Yeah, so as I've been running the sports marketing company and managing the talent and all that, I've always enjoyed the negotiation aspect. I'm a deal maker, and that's one of the things I've learned is I really enjoy working on deals and negotiations. And so when I was at Desert Mountain, that was a real estate development. I'd been approached by the salespeople there saying, man, you'd be really good at real estate sales. You'd be really, really good at this. And I was like, man, I want to be in sports. I want to be in sports. That's my passion. That's what I love. And so I'd always tabled it, but it always intrigued me. And so finally, probably about 10, 12 years ago, I started getting involved in the real estate on a personal level, investing. And then I was like, you know what, I'm going to get my license. I'm really intrigued by this more. So I got my real estate license. And my athletes are asking me like, hey, will you help me get a house? Can you help me invest in some property? Da, da, da. And I start doing this with them on the side. And the kind of light goes off my head. I was like, man, I wonder if anyone's doing this in the NFL. I wonder if anyone's doing this in Major League Baseball, NBA, hockey. Like, and I start going around to the players I've met over the years that are retired. And I start quizzing them about, you know, what did you guys do? How did this process work? Like, it's a nightmare. Like, our agents aren't licensed. Our agents don't care because they don't get compensated. The teams don't really care. And the teams just pawn us off on some local agent that's just here to snarf money from us and not really give us the service we're looking for. And I was like, a light was going off. I'm like, oh, my God, there's something out here. Like, there's really something out here. Like, and I'm like, man, I don't want to share this idea. I just don't want to share this. It's too big of an idea. Someone's going to steal this. Someone's going to run with it. And I was like, so I've just been really, really guarded. Well, my sons, their careers continue to take off through high school. They went on to play collegiate football and collegiate lacrosse. They weren't D1 kids, but they were really good. But they played with a lot of D1 kids that were bigger and grew. And we weren't built for football. We're built for golf and snowboarding and riding dirt bikes. But our network and my kids' network and the trainers that they had worked with and the coaches they had are scattered all across the country now at elite levels. And I said, guys, we got to start asking, like, is everybody having this problem? And lo and behold, it's like the biggest nightmare that the players and coaches are dealing with. And I was like, guys, think about all the college coaches, like assistant coaches that are relocating every year and nobody's catering to help them. There's no service for them.
Wow.
And then we're talking to coaches like, dude, this is brilliant. Like, this is brilliant. And I'm like, gosh darn it, I just don't have the firepower, the manpower, or the financial backing to pull this off. And I've literally been floundering around for about 8 years with this, and I see some other guys that are out there kind of doing it, and one thing leads to another. And I'm in a sponsor meeting last year with this girl, and she's like, yeah, I'm doing this real estate stuff with Keller Williams. And I said, really? And she's like, yeah, they got a sports and entertainment division now. I'm like, no way. You got to be kidding me. And I'm like, and then I connect the dots and I find out it's the guys I had been watching and seeing the job that they've been doing. I'm like, these guys really got it. They know they're onto it. And so they've been doing this for a while, and they put this program together with Keller Williams. It's absolutely just genius. But they created a sports and entertainment group within Keller Williams, where we then went in and we vetted out, not we, they, I don't want to say me, but they built this entity within Keller Williams Sports and Entertainment Group to provide, you know, whether it's a coach or a player or a celebrity or a musician, you know, just take the sports and entertainment world, that if you're having to move or relocate quickly, we now have a solution. We have agents signed to separate agreements in every major metropolitan market in the United States that are high-end luxury level agents within Keller Williams.
Wow.
So then we can bring our referrals straight into them, and like, we're helping from our side, overseeing it, handholding. They may need help getting their cars moved. They need interior decorators. They need help getting their house sold where they're at, plus a place in the other market. So we kind of come in and just handle everything soup to nuts for them. And nobody has ever done this in the sports and entertainment world.
Oh my
gosh. And
Keller
Williams has rolled this out the last 2 years. And I brought my son on with me to help run and oversee this. But we're the Keller Williams Sports and Entertainment entity for the state of Idaho, as well as for San Diego in Southern California.
That's awesome.
And we have a team of people working with us in each of those markets. And now what we're doing is networking nationwide to players and coaches and all the management agency people that I know and I've worked with over the years. Like, we have a turnkey solution for you. No money up front. We work off a percentage of the deals that we do. But hey, Mr. Athlete, hey, Mr. Coach, you're working with a group of people that understand what you're going through. We understand the athlete representation world. We get the challenges and the stresses of what you're going through. Let us help make this an easier process and reduce some of the stress for you. And Keller Williams is rolling that out, and we've been ramping that up from our side here since the beginning of this year, and it's our latest endeavor of what we're building out. But just another example to you of believing in yourself and taking a calculated risk and going for it.
Well, and also noticing the things that you're interested in and taking that and pairing it with something that you're already doing and creating something that's never been done before. I mean, I think that seems like a kind of a thread that runs true to what you've been able to do, is you've just been receptive to these ideas and said, you know, like, I'll just take one step and take a look at it, see what I can create. And next thing you know, you're through another door asking questions.
Yep. I find a void.
Yeah.
I found a void and I took my network and my expertise.
Yes.
And I like to use the saying of 1 + 1 = 3.
I love it. I love that. And I think, and I really try to encourage the people that I get to work with, is that, you know what, we all have so many different interests and things that fascinate us and light us up. And so, like, look for the connections between those things and what can you create from there. So I think that is just in testimony of what you just said, is that, you know, you just kind of got to put things together.
And hence the name of my agency.
Yes, I love that too. And I love the way you spell it.
Yep. So I did all that. The connections is because we're connected. The X goes back to the X game.
Mm-hmm.
Action sports being a little different. And that's how we came up with that name and that logo. And then so what I did on the real estate side, my company underneath Keller Williams, it's called Connection Sports Relocation.
It's awesome. Such a great idea, and I can't believe, I mean, you were very fortunate to be the one to stumble upon it, because you're meeting needs on both sides, which is fun.
Yeah, and we're having a lot of fun. I think we're just scratching the surface with the sports world and the entertainment world with this service. And
yes,
anyone else trying to go out and do this, we're years ahead of them.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure that there will be others that will come along. But yeah, if you're ahead of the game, you've probably got a lot of the kinks worked out. And I'm sure that you're the go-to, which is
awesome. That's our goal.
Yeah.
That's the plan. I look at Burton Snowboards as an example. Everyone, when you think of snowboarding, you think of Burton. And so what I'd like to think 5-10 years from now, when people are talking, you know, when teams and players and agents are talking about, you know, having to get relocated or move across the country and get to the next market, it's like Keller Williams.
Brilliant. To just take that stress off the table is amazing.
Right?
Yes. And so we just have about a minute and a half to wrap up here. And I just wanted to let you be the voice. Like I said, try to talk to people who are not necessarily living, doing work that they genuinely love or living lives that they genuinely love. And sounds like you definitely are, and you've gotten a lot of the difficulties out of the way and made things happen for yourself. So what advice would you give to an audience that could glean from your knowledge and experience?
I think you got to believe in yourself. Don't be afraid of the word no. And just go for it.
Love that.
You got to believe in yourself. There's so much self-doubt, I feel like, it's out there in our country.
Yeah.
so much self-doubt, and you're just not going to know unless you ask.
Yeah.
And like, no one gave this to me. I just went for it. I had self-belief. I'm not a rich person. I didn't have, like, a family with a lot of money that was backstopping me to do this stuff.
Yeah,
we did this all ourselves by just hard work and self-belief.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good testimony, too. It's a lot of people look at others and say, well, you know, they were born into it, or they just happen to know the right people, or blah, blah, blah. But, you know, you have got a great story, and you created the life that you get to live and the phenomenal experiences that you get to have. So, cheers. I am so grateful to have had this opportunity to spread your word to others, and hopefully others will get that message and learn to just risk getting a no. And if you get a no one place, doesn't mean you're going to get a no the next time. And you'd be surprised at what doors can open up.
Absolutely. I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be a part of your show. And if there's any of your listeners out there that, you know, something resonated with them, and even on the real estate side, you're like, hey, we could use some help getting across the country one place or the other. Happy to help. We can help you, and I can just send you to my website. Just go to www.connxns.com, and you can get a hold of me through there.
Great. I can't thank you enough, Bob. It's been a pleasure. Take great care, and that's our show for today. Thanks so much for listening in. Be sure to join me next month, and in the meantime, remember, now is your life. Get out there and really live.